So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello everyone and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom broadcasting to you loud and clear on the TFR radio network from a cabin high atop a mountain ridge somewhere in Appalachia. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. Hey folks, and welcome back to another segment of Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Tommy Freedom, and I will be here with you for the next 30 minutes. And once again, folks, if you tuned in last week, I do want to apologize for the problem that I was having with my sinuses. It was just so dry here that my throat kept closing down. I do apologize for that. It is since rain, the humidity has come back up, and I foresee that not happening this week. So what I want to start out with for this week is a story about a gun range in Arkansas that has been declared a Muslim-free zone by its owner. Now, if you're in Arkansas, most likely this is local news and you have heard of it. But if you do not live in Arkansas or anywhere nearby, this may be of news to you. I certainly thought it was newsworthy. I had the article saved and had to reboot the computer and lost it, so I found a different article that kind of goes over the same thing, and actually this one has a little bit more info in it, so I'm kind of glad that happened. But the owner of this gun range is called the Gun Cave Indoor Shooting Range, and it's located in Hot Springs. And she has declared her business a Muslim-free zone. Now, there was a message about the Muslim ban that was posted on her website. It was taken down. It was very controversial. But various cached copies of the message went viral. This happened, I think, initially last October, but she's still in the news because she's maintaining this, which she has every right to do, at least in my opinion. Now, the comments that were beneath both of what is allegedly the original Muslim-free zone post and various news reports about the gun range owner feature messages both strongly in support of and vehemently opposing the policy. Well, of course, something that controversial, you're going to have people on both sides, much like Trump's remarks the other day about the crap hole, and I will be getting into that later on also because I think it brings up some very good points. But the Gun Cave Indoor Shooting Range is now a, in all capitals, Muslim-free zone. And that's what the blog on Jan Morgan's site reportedly had said. Of course, it's been taken down. There's no that we can retrieve it, but this is allegedly what it says. And she describes herself as a nationally recognized Second Amendment advocate. Why is wrong with me today? A nationally recognized anti-Second Amendment advocate. Well, if she wasn't before, she certainly is now, nationally recognized, I mean. And she states that the decision to make her gun range Muslim-free was due to the dangerous nature of her business. Well, that's a very good point. Some people have dangerous jobs or jobs that are more dangerous than others, and it requires you to make certain decisions to keep yourself safe. Now, an excerpt, and this is from the original post, says, "To understand why I arrived at this decision, you must first take into consideration the nature of my business. This is not a coffee and donut shop. This is a live fire indoor shooting range. People come here to buy, rent, and shoot lethal weapons. In the range, people are shooting guns in close proximity to each other, so my patrons depend on me and my discretion regarding who I allow to shoot beside them. One mistake in judgment on my part could cost innocent people their lives. And that's a very, very good point that she makes. Now, she goes on to list the 10 reasons why she does not want Muslims at her Arkansas range. And here's kind of a brief synopsis. The original post was much, much longer. But these are the top 10 reasons that she gives. Number one, the Quran, which she says she has read and studied thoroughly, has 109 verses commanding hate, murder, and terror against all those who refuse to convert or submit to Islam. Well, yes, I've gone over that with you before on this show. I have read them to you, and she is absolutely correct. Reason number two, Jan Morgan says that her life has repeatedly been threatened by Muslims in response to her publications of the 109 verses that she has cited. In the notice that she is quoted as asking, "Why would I want to rent or sell a gun and hand ammunition to someone who aligns himself with a religion that commands him to kill me?" Very good point. Reason number three, the Oklahoma beheading, the Boston bombings, the Fort Hood massacre, and the 9/11 terror attacks, which she also cited as reasons why the gun range was going Muslim-free. Reason number four says, "Two Muslims walked into my range last week with Allah Akbar ringtone and message alert tones on their smartphones. They spoke very little English and did not have, one did not have proof of U.S. citizenship, so they wanted me to rent and sell them guns, or rent and shoot guns? Their behavior was so strange that it was unnerving to my patrons. No one would enter the range to shoot while they were there. Some of my customers even left." Number five, the Gun Cave Indoor Shooting Range owner also noted that Muslims who belong to or support ISIS, Hamas, or Al-Qaeda threaten to kill Americans. Very, very good point. So why give them a gun and put them in a range next to Americans? Makes absolutely no sense. She is completely correct. Number six says, that's supposed to be a gun range. Boy, typos here. The gun range, a Muslim-free zone, reads, "I have a federal firearms license. The ATF informed us when we received the license that if we feel any reason for concern about selling someone a firearm, even sense that something is not right about an individual, or if we are concerned about that person's mental state, even if they pass a background check, we do not have to sell that person a gun." Well, I guess that means you don't have to rent them one either. Now, Jan Morgan also wrote that she understands that not all Muslims are terrorists and believes that as many Muslims and Christians do not know every verse in their holy book. She said that since she has no way of knowing which Muslims will kill in the name of their religion, as she firmly believes the Quran demands, she has chosen to err on the side of caution out of consideration for her customers. The next reason is that she reportedly addressed the issue of religious discrimination this way in reason number eight, to create a Muslim-free zone. "I view Islam as a theocracy, not a religion. Islam is the union of political, legal, and religious ideologies. In other words, law, religion, and state are forged together to form what Muslims refer to as the Nation of Islam. It is given the sovereign qualities of a nation with clerics in the governing body and Sharia law all in one. This is a theocracy, not a religion. The U.S. Constitution does not protect a theocracy." Well, she's done her homework. Number nine, she reportedly stated in reason number nine that since Muslims are allowed to kill their own children in honor killings, she has no motivation to allow followers to be in the presence of patrons' children at her gun range. And reason number 10 is that she believes she wants her gun range to be Muslim-free because in the 1,400-year history of Islam, Muslims have murdered over 270 million people. That's almost the population of the United States. Since 9/11, Muslims have committed over 21,000 deadly terror attacks worldwide. In summary, people who shoot at my range come from all religious backgrounds. Some are atheists. I do not care about their religious beliefs until or unless those beliefs command them to commit violent crimes against innocent people, and I witness those crimes increasing, as we all have lately. Now, the ACLU told Business Insider that creating a Muslim-free zone at the gun range is a violation of the Civil Rights Act and a violation of religious liberty. Well, it may be a violation of the Civil Rights Act. It's certainly not a violation of the Constitution, because that does not apply to businesses. The Civil Rights Act does, however. But it is my understanding that in every other country, your laws apply to citizens, or your rights, I should say, apply to citizens of that country. So if you're not a citizen of the United States, why do you deserve the same rights that we do? You don't. If you're not a citizen, you're a guest. And when you're a guest in someone's home, you do as they do because you are their guest. So this is a pretty tough chick, this Jan Morgan. The original article had a picture of her sitting on a Harley Davidson with a gun strapped to her hip, and she is definitely a very good-looking woman as well as being a tough chick. So if you live in that general vicinity and you need a shooting range, by all means, go visit the Gun Cave Indoor Shooting Range, because that is definitely someone that we do need to support, folks. We need more of this to start happening. So God bless her for what she's doing. Now, what I liked about this article was that it was not slanted at all. It was pretty much middle of the road, and that's how good reporting should be done. That's how it used to be done. And the chick that wrote this, she's cute blonde. Her name is Tara Dodrill. And the picture that came with it was kind of small, and she had long wavy blonde hair, and her eyes were kind of buggy, and her face was kind of round. I was, you know, trying to figure out what was going on with that. So I looked her up online, you know, just to see, because she kind of looks like Mariah Carey a little bit. So I looked her up to see what she actually was. I found some more pictures of her. She's actually white. She was just blowing and making faces or something in that one. She's kind of a cute chick, but I looked up some more of her articles, and she always ends each piece that she does with, "What do you think about this?" and invites conversation from both sides. So she's a very, very good reporter. And I came across another story that she did. It's an older story, and you may be familiar with this. I'm not. I don't think it made really big news, but it was about an Amish farmer in Kentucky. I'm pretty sure. I'm going to have to pull the article back up here in a second, that was sentenced to prison for pretty much being an off-gridder. So let me go ahead and pull that up for you here, folks. Let's see. Okay. So this is, okay, here's the title here. Amish farmer sold herbal salves. The feds sent him to prison for 6 years. That's a pretty attention-grabbing headline. Now, you would think there's got to be more to the story simply than that, right? Well, over the years, folks, people have gotten entangled with the feds on just really, really simple stuff and ended up being murdered or having family members murdered. So really, it does not surprise me. So this story says that making money by selling your off-the-grid homemade products can apparently land you in prison. So apparently, this guy was in Kentucky. He's an Amish farmer, and he found out the hard way. He was sentenced last June to 6 years in prison for selling homemade herbal products and then supposedly impeding an FDA investigation. Now, a federal judge or a federal court determined that the Amish farmer, his name was Samuel Girod, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, G-I-R-O-D, Girod, mislabeled his herbal home remedies, which were for sinus infections, skin disorders, and cancer. Now, even though the local sheriff stood in Girod's corner, the 57-year-old homesteader was convicted on 13 charges. Now, a petition supporting Girod got about 30,000 signatures, and they held a rally in support of him. It was outside the Kentucky Federal Courthouse. Apparently it didn't make a difference. I don't need the FDA to protect me from an Amish farmer. Somebody was holding up a sign that read that. His name was T.J. Roberts. He's a college student. He was there, obviously, in support of Mr. Girard. I feel what happened here is an example of judges making the law, Roberts went on to tell the Lexington Herald Leader. What the FDA did here is an example of executive overreach in which they are choosing what Americans can put in or on their own bodies. Good point. I struggle to find where the victim is in all this and where the crime was committed. Well, apparently, this guy made his own herbal products, which included salves, and then sold them to people in his community, Bath County in Kentucky. I'm not actually familiar with that particular county, so I'm not sure where this is. But court records maintain that Girard defied a federal order to stop selling the salves until his business was inspected. The Amish farmer brazenly placed the public at risk, openly hampered law enforcement, and intentionally impeded the judicial process. This is according to acting U.S. Attorney for Eastern Kentucky, Carlton Shear. Okay, so that tells me it's in Eastern Kentucky. Perhaps I should have read the article in its entirety before I posed that question. Now, Girard represented himself, which was a big mistake, and claimed the court did not have jurisdiction over him, which was an even bigger mistake. Now, supporter Richard Mack of Arizona told the Herald Leader, "This is a national disgrace and outrage. He is being punished for being stubborn." Now, does that name sound familiar to you folks, Richard Mack? As in Sheriff Richard Mack. I don't remember what county he was from, but he was a very well-known anti-government sheriff. In fact, he is a very close and personal friend of Randy Weaver's. And this guy is coming here and standing beside this farmer, which is great. And the local sheriff from Bath County, his name is John Sinodager, I think. Saying that right? Just kind of openly wondered why the FDA is attacking and victimizing such peaceful and law-abiding Americans. But it says that when the FDA agents tried to inspect the business in 2013, Girard and others blocked them. So that's one of those things that comes down, you know, he said, she said. But really, folks, I mean, do you not think that that is overreaching? I mean, I certainly do. When you're charged 13 different counts and sentenced to prison for 6 years simply for selling homemade products? I mean, what in the world? You know, the FDA is a lot like the EPA. They have far too much power. And the thing about the FDA is that they allow medicines and chemicals to be put on the market that have deadly side effects in some cases. It's horrible side effects that cause tuberculosis, can cause other things. And yet there are products available in Europe that are completely safe that the FDA refuses to legalize here in the United States. It's a clear case, a very simple, clear-cut case of the stupidity of a bureaucracy. I gotta take a break here. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so in the time I've got left, I want to talk a little bit about the latest Donald Trump debacle, and I call it a debacle because that's how the press handles it. It was not a debacle. I am, of course, referring to the comments that he made regarding people from third world countries. And yes, I intended to say third world because you know what the word is that he used. And people are screaming bloody murder about this, folks. They're trying to say, well, this just shows how incompetent he is, that he's mentally unstable, he's uncouth. No, what he is someone who knows what he's doing. These are the same people that a few weeks ago tried to claim that the tax bill that was passed was going to cost us money. And I have demonstrated on this particular show just how, in fact, business is now flourishing because of that tax bill. These people get out there and they run their mouths, and they have absolutely no concept whatsoever of what politics is like. Back about a decade and a half ago or so, I ran for public office, and the press found out who I was and got a hold of that. And I was just completely blindsided. And because I was a fledgling politician, I had really no idea what to do. So I dropped out of the race to try and gather my thoughts because I made what was known in military terms as a tactical retreat. Get the hell off the battlefield, figure out what you're doing, and then come back at a later time when you have more support, more backup, more firepower. And of course, you know, being a politician, I had to appease both sides. But I did make it abundantly clear that while I was not a white supremacist, I was in fact a racialist and proud of my heritage. And I had a lot of people that obviously were unwavering. They never went anywhere. But a few people had some big mouths. Your mouth tends to get really big when you're on the internet because somebody's not there in person to knock the crap out of you when you say something directly to their face. And someone on Stormfront said, you should leave this to people who know what they're doing. Well, my friend, I knew what I was doing, and I made the right decision. I came back in 2012, having learned quite a bit, and ended up getting over 109,000 votes, which is nothing to sneeze at, folks. I've got a childhood friend who lives in the state of Connecticut, and he's on a town council in a little town up there. And when I told him what my numbers were, he was just stunned because he had been reelected with like 5,000 votes. He said 109,000 votes in Connecticut is the governor. So he couldn't really fathom those numbers, and that was just for one county. But the fact of the matter is, I did know what I was doing. And I came back and I made one hell of a statement when I got that many votes. Now, granted, my opponent got 179,000, so she did beat me, but I still had the third highest number of votes in the county, which was phenomenal. The local newspaper wouldn't even publish the results. I found out through the grapevine that they had a whole article printed, or not printed, but ready to go, because they expected me to get 5,000 or 6,000 votes, and they were going to show how much the community hated me because of my views and my beliefs. And when I literally smoked the polls with 109,000 votes, they would not even publish the results of that race in the paper the next day. That's how pissed off they were about it. But again, my point is, I knew what I was doing, and Donald Trump knows exactly what he's doing as well. You may not understand the man, you may not know how he thinks, but he knows what he's doing. And the comments that he made last week about these turd world countries being crap holes, which they are, was absolutely true. Now, maybe it wasn't polished, but what he said went on behind closed doors. It was not intended for the public to hear. The statements that he made were made to other politicians. And again, he said exactly what is on everyone's mind, at least those of us who have a brain and think. Yes, we realize that these people are no good, and we don't want them in our country. Why do we continually bring in people that are going to bring our country down? So he was absolutely correct in his statement. Perhaps he could have said it in a different way. But again, Donald Trump is Donald Trump. He's very brusque. He's crass. He says what's on his mind, and he doesn't always stop to think about how it sounds when it comes out of his mouth. I'm sure it sounds great in his head, but it doesn't always come out that way. And that's something that we as Americans need to understand. Within that mind of his lurks a political genius. And I think that once the initial fallout from this goes away, you're going to start to see how much support this is actually going to garner for him. Now, unfortunately, someone did beam the word, and I'm going to... Parents, if you have young children, cover their ears. Someone did beam the word shithole on the front of the Trump Hotel in New York City the other day, which I think was completely uncalled for. But again, all it's doing is showing the intellect of these people. The liberals, the left-wingers, the progressives, that shows their intellect. That's the best that they've got, is to project a word on the front of a building? Yeah, come on, give me a break. We know who they are, they know who they are, and we know we got them made. So on that note, I will end this particular show, but tune in next week, the same bat time, same bat channel, where I will have something else to say. So until next week, my friends, as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Until next week, my friends, you take care. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.